Yes. Can we have all of our veterans please stand this morning? This past Wednesday, of course, was Veterans Day, a day that nationally we honor our veterans. And so this morning, we want to honor our veterans that were here. I thought it'd be kind of fun for us to do a little contest. They could do a little arguing about what branch of the military is the best. And I think that'd be a real unity building thing. But anyway, thank you so much for your service, church. Would you just say thank you to those who have served our country? Yes, thank you. Thank you, thank you. And if you could just hold your hand up, you can go ahead and be seated. Hold your hand up. Our ushers do have a gift card for you, so you can go get a cup of coffee. And when you drink that cup of coffee, just remember your church loves you, and we're thankful for you. Amen. Well, this past week, as many of you have heard, our governor has put a two-week restriction on a lot of different businesses and different things in our state, including churches. As of next week, as of next Sunday, we're supposed to have groups of 25. Groups of 25. That's not very many. And so this week, and tomorrow, we're going to be. Some of you have been asking, "Well, what are we going to do?" I don't know yet. And so tomorrow we're going to be meeting, and we're going to be talking about that. Please just go onto the website, you know, Tuesday or Wednesday, and check, and we will come up with a plan that works. And so check that out. We'll also send an email later in the week so that everybody knows what's going on. We're trying to obey those scriptures that talk about honoring those in authority and being mindful of people's health, but at the same time balancing that with the fact that people are not just physical beings. We want to not only be thinking about people's physical health, but people's spiritual health and their emotional health too. And so we're trying to figure that out. We're trying to balance that, and so be praying with us this week, and we'll come up with something good for the next 2 weeks. Now listen, I'm so thankful for those who have served in the military. I really am. I've never served in the military, let alone fought on a battlefield, but I'm sure anyone who has would attest to the fact that if you were put in that situation, you would want to be thoroughly equipped and trained. I mean, if you're heading into a battle, you're going to want the best possible protective armor, the latest weaponry. You're going to want training in how to use those weapons, as well as the physical and mental training that it would take to go to the battlefield like that. So I've never done that, but I can promise you this. I've lived most of my life on a spiritual battlefield, and so have you. When you become a follower of Jesus Christ, you're on the battlefield, and you don't need me to tell you that because you're living it, right? You know that and understand that, but I want to encourage you today, do not fear. God is with you, and God is on your side, and he will give you everything you need to live a victorious life. You just think about that early church, all of the challenges they were going to be facing. Everything was brand new. There was going to be financial challenges. There was going to be challenges of persecution. There was going to be challenges of unity. There's going to be all of these challenges. And yet God made sure that they had everything that they needed to not only be successful, but to be fruitful followers of Jesus Christ and to make an impact on their city. So this morning, we're going to go to the book of Acts, and we're going to see that from the very onset of the church, God equipped the people with the power of the Holy Spirit. So Acts chapter 1, we're going to look at Acts chapter 1 and Acts chapter 2 this morning. Acts chapter 1, beginning at verse 5. This is one of Jesus' last conversations with his disciples before he ascended into heaven. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command: "Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father has promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. You will receive power. Everybody say power. You'll receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. So Jesus has just spent the previous 3 years training his disciples, teaching them the principles of the kingdom of God, demonstrating the power of God by doing miraculous things before them, preparing them to lead the church. But there was just one thing they still lacked. After everything Jesus had poured into their lives for the last 3 years, there was still one thing they needed, and that was they needed the power of the Holy Spirit. And so Jesus' final instructions were, you go stay in Jerusalem, wait there, and don't leave until you're filled with the Holy Spirit. Go to Jerusalem, wait there, and don't leave until you're filled with the Holy Spirit. This one thing, frankly, church, is the main reason a lot of Christians don't have what it takes, because they fail to wait on God. I mean, they want their spiritual growth to happen quickly, right? They want things to happen right now, and they don't want to wait. They don't want to be patient. They don't want to take time. Listen, you're going to have as much power from God as you desire to have. I'll say that again. You're going to have as much power from God as you desire to have. God's not going to leave you short. But it's our job to wait upon him. It's our job to not leave, to wait until we're filled with the Holy Spirit. And so this is exactly what those early disciples did. They did exactly what Jesus told them to do. They go to Jerusalem and they hold a 10-day long prayer meeting. Right? Some of us have a hard time praying for 15 minutes. They go and they have 10 days of being together, fellowshipping with one another, worshiping together, praying and waiting upon God. And then this happens, Acts chapter 2 and verse 1. When the day of Pentecost came, so this is 10 days later, they were all together in one place. And I'm just going to pause right there. When it says they were all together, who's the they in this verse? Well, we have to go back to chapter 1. And there we're going to learn that there were 120 disciples that were meeting together for fellowship and prayer. Among that group was the 12 apostles. Of course, Judas had hung himself, and he was replaced by a guy by the name of Matthias. There were several women there, it says in Acts 1. So presumably, at least the women who were there to care for Jesus' body at the tomb. So Mary Magdalene, a woman by the name of Joanna, another Mary, that was a popular name. Mary, the mother of Jesus, was there. We're also told that Jesus' brothers were there, which is really interesting because, remember, most of Jesus' ministry, his brothers didn't believe in him. But by now, there's been a change in their life, and they've become followers of Jesus. I'm going to assume that there were other people there, like probably Lazarus was there, who Jesus had raised from the dead, and then his sisters, Mary and Martha. Probably Nicodemus, who came to Jesus, remember, during the night. He was one of the Pharisees. And then a guy by the name of Joseph of Arimathea, who loaned Jesus a tomb. Right? As it turned out, Jesus only needed to borrow it for 3 days. So I'm going to assume that all, just so many of these people whose lives Jesus had touched, 120 of them were gathered there. And in essence, this made up the early church. And they're gathered there for prayer on this specific day, on the day of Pentecost. The day of Pentecost. Now, this is where we get our word Pentecostal. Sometimes people will ask me, Pastor Tim, Are you Pentecostal? Is Bethel Church Pentecostal? Well, it depends on what you mean by the word Pentecostal, because there's a cultural understanding of what it means to be Pentecostal, and then there's a biblical understanding of what it means to be Pentecostal. Unfortunately, the cultural meaning conjures up images of churches where women aren't allowed to wear jeans or cut their hair or put on makeup or wear jewelry, and it's little more than religious legalism. So if that's your definition of being Pentecostal, then no, that's not what I am. If, on the other hand, by Pentecostal, you mean the belief that the same Holy Spirit that filled the church back in the first century is available to Christians today to give us power to live for God, to live a holy life, and live fruitful and productive lives, then yes, I am a card-carrying Pentecostal. Yes. So the day of Pentecost, it was this holy day that was observed by the Jewish people and still is. It's been observed for thousands of years. There's three major holidays in the spring on the Jewish calendar. There's Purim, which was the remembrance of the great deliverance that God brought to the people of God in the book of Esther. There's Passover, probably the most popular, most common celebration. And then Shavuot, or Passover. Or Pentecost. So let's briefly talk about those last two, Passover and Pentecost. Passover was the remembrance of the salvation of the Jewish people that the Lord brought about when he delivered them out of bondage in Egypt. Remember the very last of the plagues that God put upon Egypt was the angel of death that came over and took the life of every firstborn of every family. But there was a provision that God gave his sacrifice, a Passover lamb, put the blood on the doorpost, and that would be the sign to the angel of death to pass over that house. And so for thousands of years, Passover is a celebration remembering the deliverance of God. Now for us as New Testament Christians, we know that Jesus Christ is our Passover lamb. That because Jesus shed his blood for us, now we have been set free from the curse of sin, we've been set free from death, and we've been delivered from bondage from our enemy, the devil. Amen? Yeah. The word Pentecost literally means 50. It was a remembrance of the giving of the law. So after the people left Egypt, they, 50 days later, came to Mount Sinai. And it was at Mount Sinai that God appears to Moses and he gives him the Ten Commandments and the rest of the law. So every year, the Jews celebrated Passover, and then 50 days later, they celebrated Pentecost. Now think about this. God's timing is so beautiful and perfect. Jesus Christ, the Passover lamb, was crucified at Passover time. God's prophetic calendar. 50 days later, 50 days after Passover, God shows up again, this time not to bring down the law, but to bring down the power of the Holy Spirit to empower us to actually keep the law. You see, in the Old Testament, they had the law, but they had no power to keep the commands of God. But through Jesus Christ, not only do we have forgiveness of our sins, but we also have the power of the Holy Spirit to help us live up to God's commands. Isn't God amazing? Yeah. And then look at what happened. The day of Pentecost shows up, and then suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. Now, there's a lot going on there, and we'll talk about some of the details there. But first, I want you to think about, don't get caught up in the details, think about the big picture. The coming of the Holy Spirit. This is a spiritual invasion. This is like the Allied forces landing on the beaches of Normandy on D-Day. It's the glory of heaven invading territory that's been under the control of the enemy. Someone say amen to that. Amen. Yeah. So when the Holy Spirit invades our lives, he comes in to liberate us and set us free. And now we are living under an entirely different regime. Now we are people of the kingdom. Amen? Filled with the Spirit of God. We're citizens of heaven. This world is not our home. Amen? Yeah. It was like the 4th of July. I mean, think about this scene. There's a loud wind that shakes the house. Fire comes down from heaven, only it doesn't burn them. Kind of reminds me of God showing up at the burning bush, right? There's fire, but the bush didn't burn. The fire of God is there, but nobody gets burned. They get filled with the Holy Spirit, and then they begin to speak supernaturally in different languages. And from this point on, the church really comes alive. I mean, you think about the difference. All of the stories that we read about the apostles when they were hanging out with Jesus, and even though they were with Jesus, they were still pretty, you know, they would squabble with one another. They would argue about who the greatest was going to be, and they'd have all these petty things going on. Not after they got filled with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit transformed their lives. Everything changed. In Ezekiel chapter 37, and we sang about this morning, Ezekiel chapter 37, God takes Ezekiel out to this valley where there's all of these dry bones out there. I mean, just dried up bones. And God tells Ezekiel to prophesy over those bones. And then when he does, the Spirit of God comes upon those bones. And the bones start coming back together to make skeletons. And then sinew and muscle come on those skeletons. And then skin. And then the Holy Spirit breathes life into them. And they stand to their feet. And they go from being dried up bones out in a dry, dead desert, to being a powerful army of God. This is what happens, church, when the Holy Spirit empowers his people. We go from death to life. Amen? We go from being dried out to being full of power and strength. Hallelujah. And then who did this happen to? We've already said the 120, but was it just a few of them? Now look at verse 4. All of them were filled. Everybody say all? All of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. All. All right? Not just the apostles, not just the men, not just the elders, it was the men and the women. Not just the older people, but the younger people, all. Listen, church, the Holy Spirit is a gift from God for all of us. For all of us. I think some of us, we just kind of have this idea that these spiritual experiences are for a few, really like special, select people of God. Like, you got to be really holy to have that stuff happen to you. Listen, that's not how it works. It's not how it works. The Holy Spirit is for all of us, and he's the one who makes us holy. Right? It's not like this spiritual, extra special club, like you have at airports. You ever at the airport, they got those lounges in there that they've got to be so cool, but they're only for certain people, right? And they got showers in there and lockers and they can get food. And I try to get into those. They never let me in. I am thankful that the gifts of God aren't for a select few. They're for all of us. All of us. So if you feel like, well, I'm not in the spiritual club, listen, the way to get in the spiritual club is to get filled with the Holy Spirit. Yeah. Yeah. And it's available to every single one of us. Later on in this chapter, Peter is going to stand up and he's going to be preaching to a crowd of people. They heard what was going on and saw the commotion, so they all gather around and they're wondering what on earth is going on, and they begin to hear these people speaking in these other languages that they recognize because they were from all over the world gathered there for Passover. For Pentecost, rather. And so Peter stands up in the crowd, and he quotes from the Old Testament book of Joel, Joel chapter 2. I will pour out my spirit on all people. There it is again. So it's not just the 120. I will pour out my spirit on all people. Because some of you, you've been told that this Holy Spirit thing was just for a few people back in the Bible times. And you've bought into that deception, that lie, and you feel like, you know, God is, you know, maybe real, but he's out there somewhere, and he's certainly not about to do anything about my life, and nothing could be further than the truth, from the truth. I will pour out my spirit on all people, your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams. Your young men will see visions. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days. I will show wonders in the heavens and on earth, blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. So there's two parts to this prophecy. The first part of this prophecy was looking forward to the outpouring of the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost, the coming of the Holy Spirit. The second part of this prophecy prophesies the second coming of Christ. And these two things go hand in hand. The outpouring of the Holy Spirit and the second coming of Christ. They go hand in hand because it's the power of the Holy Spirit that helps us in the last days. Amen? We don't know what these last days are going to look like. We don't know. But I can promise you this, whatever they look like, you're going to need the power of the Holy Spirit to get through it. Yep. We all do. The Holy Spirit will help you. The Holy Spirit will help you understand the Bible. When you open up the Word of God, pray, Lord, help me to understand what you're saying here. And the pages, the words are just going to come off the page because the Holy Spirit is going to give you insight into the Word of God. The Holy Spirit will bring God's Word to your remembrance. I'm amazed, and I'm not a great memorizer, but I'm amazed at how many times, right when I've needed a particular promise from the Word of God, the Holy Spirit's brought it to mind. And God's given me exactly what I needed, exactly when I needed it. The Holy Spirit will give you a supernatural love for people. How many of you could use a little of that right now? Supernatural love, the Holy Spirit, he'll help you forgive people. The Holy Spirit will help you never say, I could never forgive them, because the Holy Spirit will help you forgive people. He will. People you never thought you could forgive them for how much they hurt you. The Holy Spirit will help you to forgive. The Holy Spirit will help you see people through God's eyes instead of the world's eyes. The Holy Spirit will give you amazing grace. The Holy Spirit will give you supernatural courage and boldness. One of the great things that I love about Acts chapter 2 is the change that takes place in Peter's life. You remember Peter just 50 days before, when confronted by a little servant girl, he denies that he even knew Jesus. Not one time, but three times. Denies that he even knows Jesus. And now on the day of Pentecost, after he's filled with the power of the Holy Spirit, He stands up in front of this crowd in the streets of Jerusalem and boldly proclaims that Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. Yeah. You might feel like, well, I'm just a timid person and I'm just so quiet. I don't like talking about my faith. Listen, the Holy Spirit can change that. He can give you a boldness to start talking freely about Jesus. He can give you courage beyond anything you've ever known before. Yeah. Some of the scriptures that I think really describe what the Holy Spirit will do in our lives. Galatians 5, 22 and 23 talks about the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. That's what the Holy Spirit does for us. 1 Corinthians 13 says, love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It's not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. This is what the Holy Spirit does in your life. And then, as a church body, when we are filled with the Holy Spirit, God will gift us with spiritual abilities that go beyond our natural abilities and training. Gifts of prophecy, gifts of healing, gifts of miracles, gifts of wisdom and knowledge. God will do amazing things as we are filled up with the Holy Spirit. How many of you this morning want more of God's Spirit in your life? Hallelujah. Come on. You want more of the Spirit of God in your life, filling you up, giving you the joy of the Lord, giving you peace that passes understanding. It comes from the Holy Spirit of God. I'm going to ask you to stand to your feet this morning. And in just a moment, we're going to pray and we're going to ask for the Holy Spirit to come and fill our lives. All right? Before we pray, I'm going to answer this question. How can we be filled with the Holy Spirit? Well, the first thing we're going to do is ask. You're going to ask. In Luke chapter 11, Jesus said this, "So I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. The one who seeks finds. The one who knocks, the door will be opened. Which of you fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead? Or if he asks for an egg, we'll give him a scorpion. If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who what? Ask him. James wrote in the book of James, you do not have because you do not ask. All right? So we're going to start right there. We're going to ask, Holy Spirit, fill me. Holy Spirit, rule and reign in my life. Come, Holy Spirit. The second thing we need to do is we need to believe. When we ask, we can't just, you know, ask and not apply faith. We've got to believe. And it's going to be kind of like Peter stepping out of the boat before he could walk on the water. It's different. It's uncharted territory. They began to speak in these other languages that they had never learned before. That was a step of faith. They began to just speak that out. Now, when the Holy Spirit gives us the gift of tongues, the Holy Spirit doesn't come and just take control of our mouth. The Holy Spirit begins to just put those syllables, those words in our mind, and then we have to speak them out, right? We speak them out, and that's like Peter getting out of the boat. We just say, okay, I don't know what this, you say, I don't know what that word is. You're right, you're not going to. It's a miracle. It's a language you've never learned before, okay? And so it's taking, it's asking, But then it's believing and taking the step of faith and really trusting that God's going to answer his prayer. And then the third thing is we have to be surrendered. Just surrender the Holy Spirit. You know, a lot of Christians, they want Jesus, but they want Jesus to kind of be on the sideline. I mean, they want Jesus to kind of be over here. Listen, if you're really serious about following Jesus Christ, it takes surrendering your entire heart, mind, soul, and strength to him. And saying, Lord, you don't have just part of me. You have all of me. All of my heart, all of my mind. God, I give you my future. I give you my family. I give you my plans, my hopes and dreams. God, I surrender to you. Listen, God's not going to have it both ways. He's not. You're either going to let him be in control of your life or you're not. It takes surrendering to the Lord. But when we do that, it's for our good. And God does a miracle in our lives. Ezekiel chapter 36 says this, I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. I will remove from you your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit in you to move you to follow my decrees and be careful to keep my laws. Listen, if you found that in your struggle with sin, you've become frustrated and disappointed in yourself and defeated, and your personal failures are leading you to guilt and shame and beating yourself up, listen, I have good news for you this morning. Jesus came to pay the price for your sin in full, completely. And then he gives us his Holy Spirit to give us power to be victorious over temptation and sin. Amen? So the secret for the Christian to overcoming, and this is, a lot of people get this mixed up. They think, well, if I just try harder, I'll do better. No, it doesn't work that way. You can try and still fail. It's not trying harder that makes a difference. It's surrendering more. Surrendering more. Lord, fill my heart up so much that my words are guided by your Holy Spirit. My thoughts are guided by your Holy Spirit. So we're going to do this today. We're going to ask, we're going to believe, and we're going to surrender. And we're going to believe that the Holy Spirit is going to come in power and fill our lives this morning. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on, lift your hands up if you want more of God. Hallelujah. Yes, Lord. Ask him right now. Just ask him. Ask him, Lord, I know I'm unworthy, but I'm asking as your child, fill me, please, with your Holy Spirit. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. Take this heart of mine, take this heart of stone and turn it into a heart of flesh, God. Hallelujah. Change my heart. Change my thinking. Change my words, Lord. Change my attitudes, God. Change my actions, God. Hallelujah. Lord, I surrender to you. Fill me, Lord, with your Holy Spirit. And if the Lord right now, if you just feel like some syllables that are coming, the Lord's just, it's supernatural. You're not going to understand it. And I just want to invite you, just start speaking that out. Just start speaking it out. It's like Peter getting out of the boat. You're just going to begin to speak that out. And it's God moving in your life, moving upon you to do something supernatural, something you haven't learned, right? You're giving the Lord control over your language, and we could all use more of that. Hallelujah, Lord. Oh, God, come and fill me with your Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Come and fill me with power, Lord. Come and fill me with your presence, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We hunger and thirst for you, God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. Empower us, Lord, to live for you, to serve you, God. Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah.